One more hour to go here on Sports Talk, and then, gentlemen, I got some carnitas waiting for me at home. Looking forward to that tonight.
That sounds good.
Going to get into our Saints training camp sound bank this hour. Also talk to Josh Dubow, who covers the San Francisco 49ers for the Associated Press. Get a little inside info on San Fran as we get ready to take them on Sunday evening. Want to hear from you also this glorious Friday on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text on. It's 504-260-1870. Want to check in with Jimmy and Gretna first up. What you got for us, man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hanging in there this Friday.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Look, I hope y'all have a great weekend. I wanted to pay my respects to Ed Daniels.
Amen.
He passed away 67 years old, and he did a lot for the local sports scene. I know he covered high school sports exclusively, or not exclusively, but extensively. And I hate to hear it. I know he was well-loved in the city, and I just feel like I've been watching him on TV since I was a kid. You know, it's sad what happened. Also, rest in peace to the great white singer, Jack Russell. I know that's not a sports topic, but
that's all right.
You know, another great musician, and he passed away yesterday. Listen, as far as the game Sunday, I'm looking forward to it, guys. Aaron Rodgers made a statement recently, you know, the quarterback for the Jets. I guess he's going to be the starter, assuming he comes back from his injury. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot, all that stuff. So I guess if he's ready to roll, he's ready to roll. But he said that preseason now it's not even real football anymore. It's just like, essentially, it's really just seeing if young guys can handle the lights and who can, you know, establish themselves and, you know, see who's what. I want to get your take on that. And are there certain players that you're still waiting to, you know, elevate themselves? And do you guys think, I mean, I hate to keep, you know, targeting the offensive line, but
no,
I kind of feel like everything with the offense, yeah, it's a big problem. Because look, guys, we could talk all we want about Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara and the wide receivers and this and that, but if the quarterback doesn't have time back there, and you know the wide receivers don't have time to establish their routes, none of it's going to matter. So those guys, that group of guys, whoever it is, come this first game on offensive line for the Saints, you know, we got to get this to work. Do you guys see us? I know we missed on Simmons, and I'm fine with that. Let the Falcons have him. I know you guys, some people think that's like, whoa, that's a big loss. I think that's the strength of our team. What I'm more concerned about, guys, my question to you is, do you guys foresee us kind of waiting in the weeds, if you will, for a couple talented offensive linemen? Because we know every team – every year, every team or some teams are going to cut certain players that just don't, you know, they have talent, but training camp cuts come. Are we going to come pick up some veteran O linemen because of our issues, maybe with Penning and some of the other guys that we've talked about? What do you guys see happening?
I think that's a possibility, obviously, when you see these rosters get trimmed down, if there's anyone on the market, but I don't think there's going to be like this, you know, light shining down from the heavens where there's an answer for you at right tackle if Penning isn't the guy.
Yeah. Mike said it yesterday, man. You might have to go get a veteran at that spot. And Jeff Duncan put out a great article on NOLA.com yesterday about Penning, right? And how they're not necessarily giving up just yet on this guy, but the clock is definitely ticking. It is year three. It is the quote-unquote money year for him to actually finally do something. And what we all saw from Penning in that opener, Steve, I mean, you sent me the video of every single snap that he played in that opener. He was on his backside way too often.
Scariest film I've ever seen in a long time.
It's just like, you got to make a step. You got to be able to do something. Because I think Nick Underhill also put this out there, that the pass rushers that Penning might see in the first 4 weeks of the season. So it's a small sample size. It's only like a quarter of the season. But
still, right.
You're going up early against Jadeveon Clowney with the Panthers, Micah Parsons, who's one of the premier pass rushers in the entire NFL. And then in week three, you got Brandon Graham for the Eagles. And then in week four, now with Matt Judon getting traded to the Falcons, that might be who he's going to be going up against. That's a lot of premier pass rushers that Penning's going to have to hold up. So the right tackle position, like left guard, is also an issue. You know, Lucas Patrick has kind of been holding that down since Saldivari suffered that calf injury. We don't really know what the timeline is for Saldivari yet. That's a big question mark because they wanted him.
He keeps falling behind, though, which every practice right now.
He's missing out on important reps. So, you know, left tackle, Taliese Fuanga, we loved what we saw from him in preseason week one. But then he suffers some back tightness. He might not be playing during this week two preseason matchup against San Francisco. So
also from valuable reps.
Jeff was reporting, it seems like Oli Udo and Landon Young were kind of shifting reps there, right? So if you're that's what you're going to be likely looking at left tackle for at least this upcoming preseason game. Left guard is probably going to be, once again, Lucas Patrick because Saldivari is still out. And then, you know, I don't know if you're going to be playing Eric McCoy, who got rolled up on today. I don't think that they're going to risk anything with him because he's their best offensive lineman. Cesar Ruiz, who had a pretty rough showing in the preseason week one game two. And then Trevor Penning. And so it's just there's so many issues on this offensive line. And to Jimmy's point, yeah, it can hold the offense back. It's a super important unit, and they've spent so much premium draft capital on it, basically outside of the left guard position. If you're looking at Taliese Fuaga was a first-round pick. Eric McCoy was a second-round pick. Cesar Ruiz was a first-round pick. Trevor Penning was a first-round pick. And it's still the single biggest question mark on the roster.
You know, it's a problem when you got fans saying to you now, man, we really should have kept Andres Pete.
Yeah, no, we actually got a text about that. And, it's crazy because his contract that he signed with, like, the Raiders was like a prove-it deal.
Right.
It's like a one-year deal. And, at the very worst, Pete could have been good depth. I don't know.
I have a feeling he wanted to move on to somewhere
else. Yeah, that's what you had said. And that's really the only way it kind of makes sense was that he was ready for a change of scenery.
Right.
But it's still unfortunate because the Saints are on the losing end of that. Like, you definitely missed out on someone that could have contributed on the offensive line.
And ended up being a valuable piece on the O-line last year, surprisingly.
So someone also had posted in about missing on Penning when all of us knew he was going to be terrible. The issue about Penning was that there were signs, right, of this where at Northern Iowa, if you looked at his tape, he would just be embarrassing defensive linemen on some plays. But then you could also see kind of the cracks, right, where he had some technical issues, even back at Northern Iowa, right? They trusted in the physical specimen. They trusted in the
attitude, the nastiness.
That they could develop this nasty prospect. Right. And it just hasn't worked so far. To Jeff Duncan's article, which once again I think was very well written. I think it's a good article. Go check it out if you haven't. They're not ready to give up necessarily, but the clock is ticking. You need to see some strong development from this guy or else you got to go find someone.
What's going to be curious is the next step. Do they decide to try and kick him inside at the guard position to see if that works, if right tackle doesn't work?
I would imagine so. That's probably...
Because, I don't think they're ready to just toss aside a first-round pick, no matter how bad it looks.
It's so bad when you miss on first-round picks, man. And those early picks especially. Like, not even... Like, the Kendra Miller pick, too, right? As far as a year two, third-round back.
Well, that's another concern right there, the depth at running back.
Exactly, but you were hoping that he would be ready to take the mantle at this point, and he's had injury issues. It's been a concern.
It's a huge question mark just because we haven't seen it.
The defensive line, Isaiah Foskey, you haven't seen much from him at all either. A second round pick. Peyton Turner's had injury issues. He's got the talent, but he can't stay on the field. First round pick. There's been misses recently, and that's where, you're talking about the depth on the roster. You're kind of a little bit concerned because some of these guys just haven't shown much.
Well, at least a recent first-round pick in Brian Brzee looks like to be the real deal for this team, and hopefully his run-stuffing ability improves this year because he was a beast against the past, and hopefully that continues to grow for him. We're going to check out the San Fran side of things when we get back from the break. Talk to Josh Dubow, who covers the 49ers for the Associated Press. They're dealing with a slew of injuries. What's their plan going into Sunday's matchup against the Saints? We'll find out when we get back right here on WWL. Come Sunday, preseason game number two, the Saints will be taking on the San Francisco 49ers to help break down San Fran. We're going to talk to Josh Dubow, who covers them for the Associated Press. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing great. Looking forward to another preseason action coming up. Question is, obviously, too, with the 49ers, like the Saints have injury issues as well. What's going on there with the roster, and who can we expect to see in this game? Has Shanahan said anything about who will be playing in this game Sunday?
He hasn't given any specific names, but did say he plans to play definitely several of his starters, probably Brock Purdy. They do have some guys banged up. McCaffrey's out with a calf injury. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams are out with contract disputes. They got a couple right. offensive linemen hurt. You know, both their starting guards are out. But for the most part, I think I'm not sure you'll see Nick Bosa. He's actually never played in a preseason game. I'm not sure this will be his first. But I think you'll see a significant number of starters, including at least a series or maybe two from Purdy and, maybe Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and those guys.
I want to get into the offense with you here, Josh, and what we can kind of expect. Starting off with the running back room, obviously McCaffrey's dealing with an injury. Same thing with Elijah Mitchell, former UL Raging Cajun. But outside of that, what's kind of the running back depth look like? Who can we expect to get carries in this game?
Jordan Mason's been their main guy with Mitchell and McCaffrey out. He's had a really good camp. He's a former undrafted free agent in his third year. He's just shown some flashes. He's gotten a lot better this year. He's a little better all-around back. He's worked a lot in his receiving, pass blocking, things like that. So I think you'll see a lot of him. Cody Schrader, who undrafted free agent, came out of Missouri, had a great year in the SEC last year. Should get some time. They got Matt Breida. They brought him back a week or two ago. He should get a little bit of run on Sunday. So, those are probably the main guys.
For all our fantasy footballers out there, you mentioned obviously Christian McCaffrey is dealing with an injury right now, that mild left calf strain from him. Has there been any updates on his progress? Is he doing work at least on the side at training camp?
Yeah, he was out yesterday doing some running, doing some agility drills on the side. I don't think he's back in practice anytime, probably not next week, maybe the week after, or might not be till game week, but they still expect him for week one.
And then looking at the receiver room, I mean, you mentioned Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk still, I mean, that's such a crazy story that we'll get your thoughts on in a little bit, but just that contract situation just bonkers. And then Ricky Pearsall, the rookie who suffered an injury, I believe, back in OTAs. Obviously, he's still kind of working back from that. I mean, what kind of receivers do you expect to see in this game as far as the 49ers, pass catchers, if Brock Purdy's going to be going?
Yeah, Pearsall won't play. He hurt his shoulder a little bit in training and OTAs, as you mentioned. He hurt his hamstring then in July, and the shoulder was fine. Then re-injured the shoulder a week or so ago, and he has not been back to practice. But you get Debo's been great in camp. It's probably been his best camp since he's been with the Niners. They got Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley is at a really good camp, and I think has a good chance of making the team. He's been mostly a special teams guy and up and down from the practice squad the last year, but they've liked him. Ronnie Bell, seventh round pick last year out of Michigan. Trent Taylor's back for another round, and then Jacob Cowing, fourth round rookie they got out of Arizona. He was dealing with injuries early in camp, but he's had a really good week of practice this week, and probably should get a chance to.
Josh,
on Sunday to get some playing time.
Yeah, Josh, I was going to ask you, is there a player or two maybe that we might not be so familiar with that is going to get some run on Sunday that could end up making an impact in this game against the Saints?
Yeah, I don't think, Cowan should get some run. I don't know how much of an impact till, maybe on Sunday, yes, but in terms of season, probably not right. a whole lot. I think they'd like to see a lot of Renardo Green. He's their second round cornerback they got out of Florida. They probably want to see him. They'd like him to be able to compete for a regular role. They've got Charvarius Ward locked down one cornerback spot. Jamon Earl Lenore is having a great camp, and he can play inside and outside. So I think they're looking for another guy who at least can play outside in nickel if they keep Lenore inside. And Green's played both inside and outside in camp. I think he's a guy they really would like to see take a step forward. Dominic Pooney, third round rookie out of Kansas, a guard, looks like he might win the starting right guard job, and I think they want to get a long look at him too.
And then looking at the defensive side of the ball, Josh, I mean, the offensive line has been such an issue early on for the Saints. We were just talking about it before we had you on. I mean, the defensive line, as you kind of mentioned, you don't expect Nick Bosa to be playing in this upcoming game. But what kind of what do you expect to see from this defensive line? Because, I mean, it's going to be a big test for the Saints offensive line again.
Yeah, and to be honest, the Niners have built, the last few years, the defensive line has been the strength. Outside of Bosa, the edge rushers are not, not that scary. So if Bosa's not going, it's, probably not the toughest test that the Saints guys will see. They signed Leonard Floyd, and, he's a solid pass rusher, but he's not, definitely not on the elite level of pass rushing. Yetur Gross-Matos, so you guys probably remember from Carolina, mm-hmm. is there. Drake Jackson was supposed to be a guy who they were hoping would take a big step. He was a second-round pick a couple of years ago and just hasn't really done much, and then hurt his knee last year, and he's had a setback, and he's out for the year. So the edge rushing, it's not the strength that it usually is for the Niners.
curious, Josh, your take on the whole Brandon Ayuk situation. When it all gets said and done, are we going to see the wide receiver staying in San Fran, or is he going to end up, you know, finding a new home somewhere else?
Now, if you know, please let me know.
I hear you.
I think at least we're now down to two options. It's either San Francisco or Pittsburgh. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, I think the Niners do want to try to keep him. Whether they're willing to pay him what he wants in order to stay, I don't know. You know, they're going back and forth a little bit. Ayuk was out watching practice this week, which he hadn't been recently. It gave some people maybe signs of optimism. But I'll say this, Kyle Shanahan's much more optimistic about Trent Williams' deal getting done than Brandon Ayuk. So I think it's still sort of a wait and see whether they can, you know, get to what Ayuk wants. You know, they've got, you know, or if they decide they're better off trading him, and, you know, I don't see how they're better off trading him, but it's something they're obviously considering. He's be very tough for them to replace.
Josh, I mean, what do you think the number is? Do you have any idea about what he's kind of looking for this upcoming contract? Because it seems like the receiver market has obviously been booming in recent years.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, everyone wants to be, you know, the $30 million receiver. Is that around where he's looking for?
You know, the number is such a weird thing because, like, some of those contracts, you know, if you look at, you know, what the average is, it might say 30 or 31, but if you
guarantee money,
it includes, like, or not even just the guarantee money, just like one fake year at the end that sort of boosts it. For those of your listeners who go to the Over the Cap website, I think they do a great job, and Jason Fitzgerald there really spelled out sort of like what the actual receiver contracts are worth and not the, you know, what they're actually worth, not the sticker value. And, you know, I think basically something in the Amon-Ra St. Brown range is probably what you're looking at for Ayuk. It's what it's going to take. And I think that's listed as over 30. It's probably more legitimately like a 28 range. So just, you know, it depends how you're counting. If you're counting, you know, what gets leaked out from, you know, the day he agrees to it, it might look bigger. If you're counting what the actual money is, it might look a little smaller, but it's going to be in that, it's going to have to be in that range of what Amon-Ra St. Brown got. What, you know, I don't think he's going to get Justin Jefferson money, but, you know, there's that next group of guys, and I think he wants to be paid with that group.
Josh Dubois, who covers the San Francisco 49ers for the Associated Press, definitely appreciate the time, and have a good one. Enjoy game day.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Definitely appreciate the time from Josh, getting a little insight on the 49ers. When we get back, we'll finally get into that training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American when right after this on WWL. Right back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Cullen Steele as we bring you now the latest and greatest from Saints training camp in sound bites. This training camp sound bank segment is brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Going to lead it off with, of course, Head Coach Dennis Allen as he recaps this Friday practice, the last one in California.
Yeah, really the last real practice out here in California. I think that kind of wraps most everything up. We'll kind of walk through some stuff tomorrow as we get ready for San Francisco. But I think we got a lot, you know, accomplished in the last few weeks. I still think we've got some things that we need to still improve on, but I think overall, I was pleased with the work that we were able to get done out here in training camp. So now we'll start turning our attention to San Francisco.
Looking at that work that they've been able to get in, has it a good decision for this team to have camp in California?
Yeah, I think we got a lot of great work done. You know, certainly we enjoy being, you know, in front of our fans, and we'll have a couple opportunities to do that this upcoming week with a Tuesday night practice against or at Tulane, and then a Friday afternoon practice, 1 o'clock, just like the Tennessee game's going to be there in the Dome. So we'll get a couple opportunities to get out in front of our fans, and we're excited about being able to do that. I do think, you know, getting out of the heat and humidity, I think, was beneficial for our guys. And like I said, I think we got a lot of really good work done, and I think our guys being together for what really amounts to about a month with very minimal distractions, I think, was beneficial to our football team.
There is a lot of black and gold players that are banged up, guys. You go through this list here. I'm looking at Jeff Nowak's practice recap from today on WWL.com. You got Ugo Amadi, A.T. Perry, Pete Warner, Rashid Shaheed, Marshawn Lattimore, Kendra Miller, Paulson Adebo, Miller Bradford, Alvin Kamara, Isaiah Stallburg, Jalen Ford, Nick Saldivia, Josiah Ezerim, Taliese Fuaga, Trajan Jeffcoat, Mason Tipton, and Michael Jacobson. Ouch.
Yeah. No kidding.
Catch my breath.
And just think that the 49ers had more injuries
yes,
than the Saints.
Exactly.
And that's why they called the black and gold to cancel joint practices. It's, you know, Bobby talked about canceling the joint sessions and how kind of discouraging and disappointing it was because, you know, going up against San Francisco's ones, against the Saints' ones, would have been a great kind of measuring stick. We mentioned, like, last week that the Cardinals were a pretty good measuring stick in the preseason just because they have so many young players. When you make up 12 draft picks in a year, much less like basically back-to-back years for them, they're just completely overhauling their roster. So going against talented draft picks on an opposing team is solid during the preseason, whereas kind of getting that joint work against another opposing team's ones in the San Francisco 49ers would have been great. But unfortunately, I mean, they're even more banged up than the Saints are.
Talking about health-wise with players, Dennis Allen was asked, are the guys that are healthy, if you're healthy, will you be going on Sunday?
We'll see. Again, we haven't had really any of those discussions with any of the players. Our focus really is, when we're working, our focus is on the work that we're getting done. And then, you know, probably talk about that this afternoon with the guys and kind of go from there.
When I ran down that laundry list of injuries, Taliese Fuaga was on there. He got left practice early yesterday with a back issue. His status still unclear. He did not practice again today, but DA was asked, will Fuaga be able to play on Sunday?
Is Fuaga's back injury just normal tightness? Is anything of concern there?
He's rehabbing.
Okay. Will he be able to play Sunday?
I don't know.
I mean, just like for the sake of possibly alleviating concern, like, is that a week one?
I don't think I would tell you can go home and rest at night fairly comfortably.
I'll take that at least from Coach, that you can go at night and rest comfortably knowing that Fuaga's back isn't that serious.
For week one.
Was, yes.
I mean, yeah, geez. So you kind of have the doubt, and it starts to creep up in your mind if you're going to see Taliese Fuaga again this preseason. I don't – obviously, it seems like it's not that bad that it can hold him out of regular season action where it really matters. But at the same time, you know, Deuce said it yesterday, they're going to be careful with him. Not necessarily like bubble wrap him or anything like that, but they're going to be careful with his little recovery process. So, you know, even if he's not playing on Sunday, which, as Jeff had mentioned, with him out, you were seeing Ole Udo and Landon Young at the left tackle spot. Just let him kind of recover. Give him some time to be ready for the regular season where it really matters.
Looking at the rest of DA's comments, he was talking about the defense and how things are progressing there and basically said, overall, he's not worried about this pass rush for this season. It is looking mighty good.
The most effective and best rush in football is the ability to rush with power. I'm pleased with our defensive ends and really interior linemen also, our ability to rush with power. That's where it all starts. I see all these guys coming out of college, you know, and they put up great stats in college and they have a lot of sacks, but all they do is freaking run around the tackle, and it doesn't happen in our league. That may happen every now and then, but you're not winning on a consistent basis, so you have to be able to rush the quarterback with power. And that's why we've always liked the bigger, longer defensive ends instead of the smaller, you know, guys, because at some point, to get from point A to point B, I'm going to have to go through that wall, right? And it just stands to reason that the bigger, stronger guys are going to be able to do that a lot easier.
We've been seeing, you know, that in a lot of comments about the D-line being more aggressive, more be able to get after it. Last year, I know the sack numbers weren't there, and I don't know, maybe that addition of a guy like Chase Young is helping add to the intensity along the D-line.
It's funny that power was kind of the main word that he used,
right?
Because we've also heard the word speed used, right, about the new look defensive line and kind of the NASCAR package that we're all excited to see with Chase Young and Carl Granderson on the edges, and then Cam Jordan getting pushed into the inside with Brian Bercy, who, you know, once again, every report from Brissett is positive, that he's making a step ahead of year two. And we're expecting, as Steve, you put the sophomore surge from someone like Brissett. The speed on the inside is one thing, and the speed on the line in general is great. But also, I mean, you're looking at guys, and I just remember, starkly remember what Jeff had said the first time he saw Chase Young out there at training camp practice, was this guy is a mammoth. He is gigantic. He is huge. There's a reason that he went number two overall in the draft that he was drafted in. He's just a physical specimen that you have high expectations for. I mean, Carl Granderson is kind of the opposite side of the spectrum, but at the same time, he's also a really big edge rusher that's made multiple steps within the past couple of years. They paid him, you know, and he had a career year this past year, but then also you're hoping that he takes another step this upcoming year. I would be interested, Steve, to see what the end result is between Carl Granderson and Chase Young, the two guys that you're expecting to be on the edge the most in those obvious passing downs. How many quarterback sacks do you think they'll combine for? I think it's an interesting question because, I mean, Carl Granderson had that career year, 8.5 sacks, but can he get up to 11? Can he get up to double digits, right?
You're hoping he can progress even further and get into those
and
double digits.
And we've talked so much about Chase Young's motivation to have a gigantic year because he's 25 years old. He's got all the talent in the world. And a team will be willing to give him a huge contract that will maybe be a multi-year, four-year type of deal that pays him big money because he's a premium young edge rusher, and those are in short supply in the NFL. So if both of them have double-digit sack type of seasons, which is possible, right? That's a ton of production that you're getting from the edge. Can they combine for 20? Can they combine for 20-plus? Like, that's the hope for this defensive line, and it's led by these two physical edge rushers in Chase Young and Carl Granderson.
Like DA's talked about, want to see consistency. We saw the D-line be a force in preseason game number one. Want to see that continue, obviously, with a lot of things from other guys as well. We're going to take a break, get back in more of our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. When we return, wide receiver Samson Nacua, right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, winding down our Friday edition, getting into right back to our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Wide receiver Samson Nacua, a pretty new addition for the black and gold. Interesting story. Right back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Cullen Steele as we bring you now the latest and greatest from Saints training camp in sound bites. This training camp sound bank segment is brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Going to lead it off with, of course, head coach Dennis Allen as he recaps this Friday practice, the last one in California.
Yeah, really the last real practice out here in California. I think that kind of wraps most everything up. We'll kind of walk through some stuff tomorrow as we get ready for San Francisco. But I think we got a lot, you know, accomplished in the last few weeks. I still think we've got some things that we need to still improve on. But I think overall, I was pleased with the work that we were able to get done out here in training camp. So now we'll start turning our attention to San Francisco.
Looking at that work that they've been able to get in, has it a good decision for this team to have camp in California?
Yeah, I think we got a lot of great work done. You know, certainly we enjoy being, you know, in front of our fans, and we'll have a couple opportunities to do that this upcoming week with a Tuesday night practice against or at Tulane, and then a Friday afternoon practice, 1 o'clock, just like the Tennessee game's going to be there in the Dome. So we'll get a couple opportunities to get out in front of our fans, and we're excited about being able to do that. I do think, you know, getting out of the heat and humidity, I think, was beneficial for our guys. And like I said, I think we got a lot of really good work done. And I think our guys being together for what really amounts to about a month with very minimal distractions, I think was beneficial to our football team.
There's a lot of black and gold players that are banged up, guys. You go through this list here. I'm looking at Jeff Nowak's practice recap from today on WWL.com. You got Ugo Amadi, A.T. Perry, Pete Warner, Rashid Shaheed, Marshawn Lattimore, Kendra Miller, Paulson Adebo, Miller Bradford, Alvin Kamara, Isaiah Stalbert, Jalen Ford, Nick Saldivia, Josiah Ezerim, Taliese Fuaga, Trajan Jeffcoat, Mason Tipton, and Michael Jacobson. Ouch.
Yeah. No kidding.
Catch my breath.
And just think that the 49ers had more injuries
yes,
than the Saints.
Exactly.
And that's why they called the Black and Gold to cancel joint practices. It's, you know, Bobby talked about canceling the joint sessions and how kind of discouraging and disappointing it was because, you know, going up against San Francisco's ones, against the Saints' ones, would have been a great kind of measuring stick. We mentioned, like, last week that the Cardinals were a pretty good measuring stick in the preseason just because they have so many young players. When you make up 12 draft picks in a year, much less, like, basically back-to-back years for them, they're just completely overhauling their roster. So going against talented draft picks on an opposing team is solid during the preseason, whereas kind of getting that joint work against another opposing team's ones in the San Francisco 49ers would have been great. But unfortunately, I mean, they're even more banged up than the Saints are.
Talking about health-wise with players, Dennis Allen was asked, are the guys that are healthy, if you're healthy, will you be going on Sunday?
We'll see. Again, we haven't had really any of those discussions with any of the players. Our focus really is, when we're working, our focus is on the work that we're getting done. And then, you know, probably talk about that this afternoon with the guys and kind of go from there.
When I ran down that laundry list of injuries, Taliese Fuego was on there. He got left practice early yesterday with a back issue. His status still unclear. He did not practice again today, but DA was asked, will Fuego be able to play on Sunday?
Is Fuego's back injury just normal tightness? Anything of concern there?
He's rehabbing.
Okay. Will he be on play Sunday?
I don't know.
I mean, just like for the sake of possibly alleviating concern, like, is that a week one?
I don't think I would tell you can go home and rest at night fairly comfortably.
I'll take that at least from Coach, that you can go at night and rest comfortably knowing that Fuego's back isn't that serious.
For week one.
For week one.
For week one.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, geez. So you kind of have the doubt, and it starts to creep up in your mind if you're going to see Taliese Fuego again this preseason. Obviously, it seems like it's not that bad that it can hold him out of regular season action where it really matters. But at the same time, you know, Deuce said it yesterday, they're going to be careful with him. Not necessarily like bubble wrap him or anything like that, but they're going to be careful with his little recovery process. So, you know, even if he's not playing on Sunday, which, as Jeff had mentioned, with him out, you were seeing Oli Udoh and Landon Young at the left tackle spot. Just let him kind of recover. Give him some time to be ready for the regular season where it really matters.
Looking at the rest of DA's comments, he was talking about the defense and how things are progressing there, and basically said, overall, he's not worried about this pass rush for this season. It is looking mighty good.
The most effective and best rush in football is the ability to rush with power. I'm pleased with our defensive ends and really interior linemen also, our ability to rush with power. That's where it all starts. I see all these guys coming out of college, you know, and they put up great stats in college and they have a lot of sacks, but all they do is freaking run around the tackle. And it doesn't happen in our league. That may happen every now and then, but you're not winning on a consistent basis, so you have to be able to rush the quarterback with power. And that's why we've always liked the bigger, longer defensive ends instead of the smaller, you know, guys, because at some point, to get from point A to point B, I'm going to have to go through that wall, right? And it just stands to reason that the bigger, stronger guys are going to be able to do that a lot easier.
We've been seeing, you know, that in a lot of comments about the D-line being more aggressive, more be able to get after it. Last year, I know the sack numbers weren't there, and I don't know, maybe that addition of a guy like Chase Young is helping add to the intensity along the D-line.
It's funny that power was kind of the main word that he used,
right?
Because we've also heard the word speed used, right, about the new look defensive line and kind of the NASCAR package that we're all excited to see with Chase Young and Carl Granderson on the edges, then Cam Jordan getting pushed into the inside with Brian Bercee, who, you know, once again, every report from Bercee is positive that he's making a step ahead of year two, and we're expecting, as Steve, you put, the sophomore surge from someone like Bercee. The speed on the inside is one thing, and the speed on the line in general is great, but also, I mean, you're looking at guys, and I just remember, starkly remember what Jeff had said the first time he saw Chase Young out there at training camp practice, was this guy is a mammoth. He is gigantic. He is huge. There's a reason that he went number two overall in the draft that he was drafted in. He's just a physical specimen that you have high expectations for. I mean, Carl Granderson is kind of the opposite side of the spectrum. But at the same time, he's also a really big edge rusher that's made that made multiple steps within the past couple of years. They paid him, you know, and he had a career year this past year. But then also, yeah, you're hoping that he takes another step this upcoming year. I would be interested, Steve, to see what the end result is between Carl Granderson and Chase Young, the two guys that you're expecting to be on the edge the most in those obvious passing downs. How many quarterback sacks do you think they'll combine for? I think it's an interesting question because, I mean, Carl Granderson had that career year, 8.5 sacks, but can he get up to 11? Can he get up to double digits, right?
You're hoping he can progress even further and get into those
and
double digits.
And we've talked so much about Chase Young's motivation to have a gigantic year because he's 25 years old. He's got all the talent in the world, and a team will be willing to give him a huge contract that will maybe be a multi-year, four-year type of deal that pays him big money because he's a premium young edge rusher, and those are in short supply in the NFL. So if both of them have double-digit sack type of seasons, which is possible, right? That's a ton of production that you're getting from the edge. Can they combine for 20? Can they combine for 20-plus? Like, that's the hope for this defensive line, and it's led by these two physical edge rushers in Chase Young and Carl Granderson.
Like DA's talked about, want to see consistency. We saw the D-line be a force in preseason game number one. Want to see that continue, obviously, with a lot of things from other guys as well. We're going to take a break, get back in more of our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. When we return, wide receiver Samson Nacua, right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, winding down our Friday edition, getting into right back to our training camp soundbank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Wide receiver Samson Nacua, a pretty new addition for the Black and Gold. Interesting story with him. He's bounced around a few places, had some odd jobs from restaurants, his buddy's warehouse, flooring, construction. He's been trying to make it in the NFL. Had a little bit of a stint in the USFL and UFL. Was a preseason participant for the Indianapolis Colts back in 2022. And is now trying to make his way into the NFL with the Saints. Growing up, though, he's got a big family of brothers that all play football. And his older brother, Kai, played a little with some teams in the NFL, including the 49ers. And he was asked, did he learn a lot about football growing up with his brother, Kai?
He's a safety. So going against a battle against him every day was an opportunity of a lifetime, let me tell you. I got to watch that guy be a superstar all growing up. And then finally getting to battle that superstar, woo! It was a lot of smack talk in practices, a lot of me winning, you know. I hope he doesn't see this, but yeah.
That's going to be our next question.
Yeah, but it was super fun out there. Yeah, Kai's a safety. He's more, him and my older brother Isaiah, more the defensive guys they want to hit. I'll hit you, but obviously I want you to know. I want to finesse a little bit more.
Did he give you an extra one in practice? Or
oh, my gosh, all the time. All the time. I'm probably blocking a corner and the play's the other way, and he's just sprinting across, just come and headbutt me real quick.
So Samson is one of six brothers. Obviously, we know one of his younger brothers is Puka Nacua with the L.A. Rams. But just how many of this Nacua family plays football?
Shoot, we have the youngest, Tay, just started his freshman year at BYU. He's also a receiver. One of the older brothers, Kai, he's still playing. He was the one in the league, bouncing around 7 years. He's in the UFL right now. I had an older brother, Isaiah, who was a defensive end. My oldest brother, Justin, he was a basketball, volleyball player. He was more soft. My sister is a basketball player. She was really the hardest one of us all. She used to bully us. But yeah, there's a lot of it. We all play sports. Yeah. Kai is still the more active one, the oldest out of the older group. And then me, the next one, still playing. And then the two younger ones.
How many of there are you?
Six boys, one girl. Yeah.
Do you all have backyard games?
Oh, big parties back there. Fights. Parties, you name it. We had a trampoline, no grass, just straight dirt and rocks, and we had no shield for the trampoline, and so we were all jumping all the time. My brothers would shove you off head first into the rocks and waking up bloodied everywhere, right back onto the trampoline, having a great time. So it was a blast.
The two younger ones, so the other one's not even to college yet.
He just started his freshman year at BYU.
Puka's younger
than me. Yeah, sorry. And then Tay.
So there you get a little glimpse into the Nacua family. Sounds like a fun backyard brawl back there.
Yeah, athletic for sure.
I love how they call the one brother who played volleyball and basketball soft.
Yeah, I started chuckling at that too. Yeah, it's good stuff.
But Puka Nacua obviously took the league by storm last year with the Rams, man. That was one of my fantastic waiver wire picks up in fantasy football too. I was lucky to get him.
A league winner. And it's funny, Steve, because all those fantasy fans out there, I did a dynasty draft last weekend.
Yeah.
Puka Nacua in dynasty leagues is like a second round pick.
Wow, okay.
And like, especially for a super flex league, which is what we did, a 23-year-old receiver that broke out into the scene like he did. I think he finished like the wide receiver 4 last year after being basically out of nowhere, a waiver wire pickup. So, yeah, Puka was great. But as far as Samson, this wide receiver room for the Saints, if you look at their depth chart, you see a lot of Qs. And that means questionable because of injuries, right?
Yeah.
A.T. Perry suffers an injury. Equanimeous St. Brown's missed time with an injury. Mason Tipton's been injured. Obviously, Rashid Shaheed suffered a toe injury that was reported on today. Stanley Morgan has had injury issues at points throughout this training camp process. Bub Means as well. A lot of guys have been injured, and it kind of opens up the door
for someone to potentially
step forward. Now, can Samson Nacua be that guy? Apparently, Jeff was also saying that Kevin Austin is one of those dudes as well that's trying to put a name for himself out there at camp. You know, the preseason games are a great opportunity too. In that first preseason game, Samson caught 2 passes on 4 targets for 19 yards. We'll see if we can kind of build upon that. Same thing with someone like Kevin Austin. These guys that are trying to maybe squeak into the back end of this wide receiver room, trying to earn their spot on the 53-man roster. And, I mean, maybe none of them do, right? But at the same time, they have an opportunity to impress. So it's big stuff.
Looking at going into this game on Sunday, with the offensive line questions, concerns, we talked about Eric McCoy kind of got banged up today. We'll see what the word is on him if he ends up being able to play on Sunday. I don't know if that'll happen. And a guy like with Taliese Fuaga with his back issue, if he's out as well, that's 2 starters along this line out that'll be out. Do you think then that Dennis Allen's going to put Derek Carr out there? I think not.
We'll have to see. I mean, DA remained very much noncommittal. We'll probably find over the weekend if Carr's going to be getting snaps. But as far as, you know, like you said, I don't expect McCoy to necessarily play. They're probably going to be safe with him. Same thing with Taliese Fuaga. So maybe you'll see like Landon Young or Oli Udoh at that left tackle spot. And maybe Sincere Haynworth, the undrafted rookie from Tulane at the center spot.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our Friday edition of Sports Talk. For Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. And remember, Sunday, 7 o'clock, Saints 49ers right here on WWL. Who dat? Welcome back into Sports Talk, winding down our Friday edition. Getting into right back to our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Wide receiver Samson Nacua, a pretty new addition for the black and gold. Interesting story with him. He's bounced around a few places, had some odd jobs from restaurants, his buddy's warehouse, flooring, construction. He's been trying to make it in the NFL. Had a little bit of a stint in the USFL and UFL. Was a preseason participant for the Indianapolis Colts back in 2022, and is now trying to make his way into the NFL with the Saints. Growing up, though, he's got a big family of brothers that all play football, and his older brother, Kai, played a little with some teams in the NFL, including the 49ers, and he was asked, did he learn a lot about football growing up with his brother, Kai?
He's a safety, so going against a battle against him every day was an opportunity of a lifetime, let me tell you. I got to watch that guy be a superstar all growing up, and then finally getting to battle that superstar, woo! It was a lot of smack talk in practices, a lot of me winning, you know. I hope he doesn't see this, but yeah.
That's going to be our next question.
But it was super fun out there. Kai's a safety. He's more, him and my older brother Isaiah, more the defensive guys they want to hit. I'll hit you, but obviously I want you to know. I want to finesse a little bit more.
Did he give you an extra one in practice? Or
oh, my gosh, all the time. All the time. I'm probably blocking a corner and the play's the other way, and he's just sprinting across, just come and headbutt me real quick.
So Samson is one of 6 brothers. Obviously, we know one of his younger brothers is Puka Nacua with the L.A. Rams. But just how many of this Nacua family plays football?
Shoot, we have the youngest, Tay, just started his freshman year at BYU. He's also a receiver. One of the older brothers, Kai, he's still playing. He was the one in the league bouncing around 7 years. He's in the UFL right now. I had an older brother, Isaiah, who's a defensive end. My oldest brother, Justin, He was a basketball, volleyball player. He was more soft. My sister is a basketball player. She was really the hardest one of us all. She used to bully us. But yeah, there's a lot of it. We all play sports. Yeah. Kai is still the more active one, the oldest out of the older group. And then me, the next one, still playing. And then the two younger ones.
How many of there are you?
Six boys, one girl. Yeah.
Do you all have backyard games? And-
oh, big parties back there. Fights, parties, you name it. We had a trampoline, no grass, just straight dirt and rocks. And we had no shield for the trampoline. And so we were all jumping all the time. My brothers would shove you off, head first into the rocks, and waking up bloodied everywhere, right back onto the trampoline, having a great time. So it was a blast.
The two younger ones, so the other one's not even to college yet?
He just started his freshman year at BYU.
Okay. Puka's
younger than me.
Oh,
yeah, sorry, and then Tay.
So there you get a little glimpse into the Nakua family. Sounds like a fun backyard brawl back there.
Yeah, athletic for sure.
I love how they call the one brother who played volleyball and basketball
and soft. Yeah, I started chuckling at that too. Yeah, it's good stuff.
But Puka Nakua obviously took the league by storm last year with the Rams, man. That was one of my fantastic waiver wire picks up in fantasy football too. I was lucky to get him.
A league winner. And it's funny, Steve, because all those fantasy fans out there, I did a dynasty draft last weekend.
Yeah.
Puka Nakua in dynasty leagues is like a second round pick.
Wow, okay.
And like, especially for a super flex league, which is what we did, a 23-year-old receiver that broke out into the scene like he did. I think he finished like the wide receiver 4 last year after being basically out of nowhere, a waiver wire pickup. So, yeah, Puka was great. But as far as Samson, this wide receiver room for the Saints, if you look at their depth chart, you see a lot of Qs. And that means questionable because of injuries, right?
Yeah.
A.T. Perry suffers an injury. Equanimeous St. Brown's missed time with an injury. Mason Tipton's been injured. Obviously, Rashid Shaheed suffered a toe injury that was reported on today. Stanley Morgan has had injury issues at points throughout this training camp process. Bub Means as well. A lot of guys have been injured, and it kind of opens up the door
for someone to potentially
step forward. Now, can Samson Nakua be that guy? Apparently, Jeff was also saying that Kevin Austin is one of those dudes as well that's trying to put a name for himself out there at camp. You know, the preseason games are a great opportunity too. In that first preseason game, Samson caught 2 passes on 4 targets for 19 yards. We'll see if we can kind of build upon that. Same thing with someone like Kevin Austin. These guys that are trying to maybe squeak into the back end of this wide receiver room, trying to earn their spot on the 53-man roster. And, I mean, maybe none of them do, right? But at the same time, they have an opportunity to impress. So it's big stuff.
Looking at going into this game on Sunday, with the offensive line questions, concerns, we talked about Eric McCoy kind of got banged up today. We'll see what the word is on him if he ends up being able to play on Sunday. I don't know if that'll happen. And a guy like with Taliese Fuaga with his back issue, if he's out as well, that's 2 starters along this line out that'll be out. Do you think then that Dennis Allen's going to put Derek Carr out there? I think not.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, DA remained very much noncommittal. We'll probably find over the weekend if Carr's going to be getting snaps. But as far as, you know, like you said, I don't expect McCoy to necessarily play. They're probably going to be safe with him. Same thing with Taliese Fuaga. So maybe you'll see like Landon Young or Oli Udo at that left tackle spot. And maybe Sincere Haynworth, the undrafted rookie from Tulane at the center spot.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our Friday edition of Sports Talk. For Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. And remember, Sunday, 7 o'clock, Saints 49ers right here on WWL. Who dat?